Good morning. We're starting a new four-week series on If I Am in Christ. And so this morning, the title is Life in Christ. And so we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to talk a little bit about what happened last week. And then we're going to proceed with our lesson this morning. So, Father, thank you for today, and thank you for the word of the Lord as it comes forward today. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in each person's heart, in their life, Lord. We thank you, Lord, it is you that causes us to understand the word, and you're the one that gives us the revelation. So we ask you today to do that for us. Teach us, Lord, as we come before you. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week, we had a time in worship for about an hour, and we were praying and interceding. And I wasn't sure exactly what the purpose of the intercession was, but the scripture says when you don't know how to pray, you just pray in the Spirit, right? And we were praying in the Spirit, we were warring in the Spirit, and the presence of God just swept in here, and God moved in a miraculous way in this place. He released an overflow to us. We're in need of some overflow from the presence of the Lord, and that overflow helps us get through those struggles and those problems and those trials in life. Well, little did we know that a tornado was coming to this area. Little did we know, but God knew. God knew. And so we just thank God that he protected the church. He protected Patty Food's house. You know, it was like the winds came in and it tore things up, but just bounced right over the church and on over Brian's house. So there was a purpose for our intercession last week. And all of you, y'all made it, right? There was no great catastrophes that I heard of, you know, of anyone's house having a tree fall on it. Not that it's not, okay, does God always sustain us from every bit of trouble? No. But the trouble that comes and the trial that comes is there to show you what you need to change and show you the lies you have believed in the midst of all of the trouble. Does that make sense? But we thank God that as we interceded, he moved. And I'm sure there's many more things. There's many more things that God has done in our lives over this last week and will continue to do, because intercession is eternal. Do you know when we release a sound out into the atmosphere, it just keeps going? Yeah, they actually say they can go into a room, and they have modern technology now where they can read and hear the conversations that happened in that room years ago. Think about that. Yeah, that's scary. It's really scary. Hallelujah. However, God wants to encourage us this morning. And there was some activations we did. And one of them was I encouraged all the parents to get their children involved. And we were all clapping on the same beat. When we were doing that, I could see in the heavenlies the host of angels marching in the heavenlies as we were all going in rhythm. Jesus is the commander of the armies of heaven. And as we were going together, there were obstacles that were being torn down in our lives. We don't know all of them yet, but you're going to see them. You know, and even though if you weren't here to participate in all of that, you still reap the benefits of it because you're a part of who we are. Hallelujah. And I thought about the walls of Jericho. Everyone wasn't just doing their own thing. God gave them specific instructions. They were to march around that wall and be quiet until they all shouted at the same time, right? So they all had the same instructions, and when they did it, what happened? The walls came down. It's like Jehoshaphat, when they sent the praisers ahead of them, when they were up against looked like an undefeatable situation, that they were going to get creamed. You know, the Lord prophesies through a young man and says, send the singers ahead of the army. Can you imagine? You know, if you're one of those singers, you're hope you had a lot of faith, you know, to get out there. But they were all singing the same thing. Blessed is the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And I'm sure there was a rhythm, rhythm that was going with that, Caden. I'm sure somebody was clanking their swords or something behind them. You know, the singers were singing, and probably the army was like doing some percussion behind them as they were all marching in rhythm. But they were following the Lord's instructions. And the enemy was totally defeated. So we never know what God is up to. But our position is to be obedient. When the Lord asks us to do something, be obedient. And I love having the children in for worship. I believe the children have always been in for worship, except for the youngest ones. And we enjoy children in worship. They need to see their parents worship. This is how they learn. You know, they will mirror what they see in their parents. And the value of that is so important. But I did want to share that because I thought if some people might wonder, what in the world were we doing for an hour? But we were following the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for fruit that comes into our lives. So every time we gather, it's to allow the presence of God and the presence of each other to spur us on, to encourage us. The scripture talks about us being living stones. We're alive. And God puts us together to build that spiritual habitation for him to come and to dwell in. And so we thank God. That word habitation in the Greek means a permanent residence. God doesn't dwell in man-made temples or buildings, but he dwells within us. And so as we come together, the Spirit of God connects, and we just begin to prepare him this place to inhabit. Tell someone close to you it's important to be in the house of the Lord. So this morning, as we start out this lesson, these lessons, this four-week series, If I Am in Christ. The goal of the series is to look at the how this affects our everyday life. And we're going to take a look in Ephesians to start out. Ephesians chapter 1. It's a book about the church. And it's written to the Ephesians. And if you remember, we've done a lot of studying on Paul over the last 6-7 months, but he was in Ephesians or Ephesus probably around 52 AD, and they figure he was there for a couple years, and he started teaching people and bringing them to Christ. And years later, Paul ended up in the Roman prison, and he wrote this letter to the church of Ephesus. And Paul, when he wrote this, he kind of split his thoughts up into two different things. And at the first three chapters is focused on the if. So it's if you are in Christ. These are things that are benefits for you. And then the last, the second part of it in his letter is focused on then. So it's if and then. And the purpose is to change us personally. It's to change our communities. It's to change our world, what we learn in this letter. So let's go on. And remember, the key is if. Say if. Okay, if we are in Christ. Let's start out with Ephesians 1, 1 through 3. And it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And so, Paul specifically tells us in this, it's to the faithful. To the faithful in Christ Jesus, that's who I'm writing, who Christ has blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. And everything Paul was about to share was about being found in Christ Jesus. So when Paul started this letter, it has a tone of praise to it. He stated that there was incredible blessings available for us. And those blessings will be fleshed out as we go through the following chapters. But Paul offered in the first three verses the condition, which we already shared, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And when you're faithful, you're a loyal follower. So you can be a faithful employee, faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, faithful to your spouse, faithful to your family. Be faithful to the faithful. Our call is to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. So once again, we're going to take a look at being in Christ is about your position and it is about identity. The Greek word that Paul used is the word, it's en, which we translate in, and this word is a preposition, and like my mom taught me, it is anything that can go over, under, around, above, behind. She said it's kind of like a mouse. Ever chase a mouse? It's good to have a cat or a dog when they're around. But we're to have a proper response to what Jesus has done for us to receive from the Lord. And so that proper response is something you've heard many times. It's repentance, which means to recalculate. Recalculate our trajectory. Do you remember the, I don't know if they do this anymore, but I remember the old GPSs used to say, recalculating. Because you were going your own way, right? But repentance means to change our course. And the scripture says in Acts 3:19, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. So our response to the Lord is in repentance. If we need to recalculate, there's no shame in that. Tell your neighbor, there's no shame. You know, the shame would be, and the damage would be, is if you refuse to recalculate. You know, and so when the Lord convicts us, we need to take a look at that. And before we came to Christ, we were headed in our own direction, and we were doing our own thing. Is that right? And that is something we work on continually as a Christian, is to not go full force ahead doing our own thing, but asking the Lord for wisdom and help as we go forward, because he really does want to help us with everything in our life. And I'm not talking about being super spiritual all the time, but you know what? We acknowledge him. When we acknowledge him, he will direct our paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. I'm sure everybody has a story that's sitting here about something that they did with their own understanding that totally bombed. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding in all your ways, not a few, in the ones you want to. Sometimes we don't ask the Lord because we don't want to hear his answer. We don't go in for counsel or ask oversight about something because we don't really want to hear what they're going to say because they might not agree with us and we really want to do what we want to do. I mean, that's human nature. That is something we deal with our whole life. You know, it'd be wonderful if it would just go away. But how many found out it doesn't just go away? Hallelujah. We have to keep crucifying it. So with every step we take toward Jesus Christ in trust and belief, we will find Christ there. Trust and belief. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We've heard this verse so many times. But you know, it says, therefore. So there must be a whole lot of stuff before the 17th verse, because therefore is explaining what was going on before. But we are a new creation in Christ. The old ways of life become a thing of the past. Isn't that a good feeling when the old things of life become a thing of the past? I mean, we work through these things our whole life. But when you realize, you know, I am not doing such and such anymore. My mind and my thoughts are not going towards such and such anymore. Whatever your such and such is. Have you experienced that? It is an amazing thing. And it's like it happens so gradually. God is at work in our lives. And this is why he tells us not to be critical and judgmental of other people and what they're doing or where they're at in their walk with God, because you don't know their heart. You don't know what's going on in their mind. You know, they're going to arrive at their destination and mature on God's clock, not on yours, and what you think they should do. Well, I think they should. Come on, give the Lord a praise. That's the truth. That will destroy congregations, friendships, families faster than anything when you have a judgmental, critical spirit and are constantly on somebody else or even talking about them, about what you think they should do with somebody else. You know, your words have power. They get sent out. That is witchcraft. That is manipulation. You are being ignorant according to the word of God, because God is the one that changes the heart. God is the one that directs our path. God is the one at work in us. And thank God he never gives up on us, because there's a whole lot of people that give up too fast. Come on, he doesn't give up on us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So being in Christ is about your position and your proximity. So when we worship the Lord, that word worship in the Greek is proskuneo. It means to come close to. It means to kiss the hand up. It means to be that close to God when we are worshiping him face to face. It's about getting position before the throne of grace. We position ourselves. We surrender. Can somebody say surrender? We surrender our will to God's will. And once again, that is something that can just go against our grain. It can really go against our grain. But, you know, when it's all said and done, people won't recognize who we are any longer. Wow, was that Janet I just talked to? Oh, that's amazing. She's so different. That's what we want people to say. Was that really Shelby? Wow. That's not the Shelby I knew 10 years ago. Hallelujah. Woo! God's working in our lives. And so it's an extension of grace. Of grace. You know, years ago the Lord started saying, just keep your mouth shut. When this thought would go through my head. Just keep your mouth shut. You know, and then he would say, don't think about it. Don't even think that. Have you ever had that happen to you? I mean, God talks to you. Those thoughts that come up from our spirit are instructing us, and sometimes we reason it away, or we just want to talk about it. You know, we just want to vent a little bit. Like our opinion is more important than God's. Hello. Come on. So we're a new creature. We have identity in a new way because we walk in the light of fellowship with Jesus Christ. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, then we can have fellowship one with the other. You see, it's all about us getting in the light. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, he is the light, right? He's the light of the world. Then we can have fellowship. Hey, we've got something to relate to because we're all in the light. And we're not allowing that darkness to come in. So let's go on in Colossians 3, 12 through 14. The scripture says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on love. You put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, and then it is all wrapped up in love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. That's a great set of clothes, isn't it? We want those clothes in our closet, in our spiritual closet. God is into dressing us in his garments, just like he was into. He dressed Adam and Eve in the garden. And I thought about that. It says, Adam and Eve realized they were naked. Well, they never had clothes to start with. Right? They never had clothes to start with. Just all of a sudden, they realized, oh, we don't have clothes on. And God clothed them. And you know what? He's been clothing us ever since. He has spiritual clothes for us that we're to put on. It says to clothe yourselves. So that means you have to make a decision that I am going to put that on. I'm going to wear that. You know, it's like the football teams. You know, they put on all their gear and their uniforms, and they come out on the field. They can't just wear any old thing they want. You know, there's a code. There's a dress code, right? There's a dress code. And so, in the kingdom of God, we've got a dress code, church. We've got a dress code. And if we will surrender to God, ask him to help us, he's going to clothe us. He's going to put those things on us, and people are not even going to recognize who we are. Who is that? Hallelujah. So our position matters. Our identity matters. Because the most important thing is that we are a light to other people. That's the goal. We've got some good news, but who is going to listen to you if you are obnoxious and always going off and rude? They heard you be rude and tell someone off yesterday, but you want to talk to them about Jesus today? You know, like, give me a break. It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. Who are we trying to deceive? It's like, no, thank you. If people are trying to get away from you rather than talk with you and meet with you, then you need to have a heart check before the Lord, because there's something in you that is causing them to run. Does that make sense? Yes. Yes. And so when you can press through that, have you ever met someone you just want to get away from? You really don't want to talk to them? You know, and so then this is what I do. I always say, Lord, why do I feel like that? What do you want me to do? You know, what's going on in their life? Where do they need help? Because sometimes people are just trying to reject you because they're so hurt and wounded, or they don't trust you. So until they get to know you and the Spirit of God that's on the inside of you, if you run away from them because you're feeling that repelling, then you're not going to reach them. We want to reach people, right? So as we mature and we're stronger in Christ, we can like push through that. Because I'm always curious, what's behind all that? Ooh, that's really interesting. Brian's shaking his head, yes. It's like, what is going on? That person needs some help. And our help comes from the Lord. So being in Christ, as we've been talking, it's obvious it affects every part of our lives. And we're going to read on. We're going to read through verse 14, and then we're going to talk a little bit about the blessings that are in this passage. It says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." He already chose us to be holy and blameless. You know, I don't know if you've really meditated on that, but we think we chose him, but he chose us. He chose us. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything. He works out a few things? Everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So Paul laid out five different blessings that come from placing our faith and hope and trust in Jesus Christ. And if we are in Christ, we're chosen, we're adopted, we're redeemed, we're purposed, and we're sealed. I would imagine that if we actually believed these things were true about us, you know, if we really believed we were chosen, adopted, redeemed, purposed, and sealed, it would really change the way that we live every day. If we are in Christ, then all these things are true about us. So let's just take a quick look at these blessings and then we'll close. If you're in Christ, you are chosen to be a blessing. So many scholars believe that Paul was tying this together with Abraham. Abraham was blessed by God, but Abraham wasn't blessed just for his own self. Abraham was blessed to be a conduit of blessings. And that's what each one of us need to realize. God blesses us to be a conduit of blessings so that blessings can flow through us. And in the Jewish mindset, being chosen wasn't like you were a member of the elite. When you were chosen by the Lord, it was a privilege. It was a privilege, and it was an opportunity for everyone. And the responsibility that bears with that is that we share the good news of Jesus Christ. So it says, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. I just wanted to read that one more time, because it's so important to understand that Jesus Christ was the vehicle of salvation for mankind. And Abraham was just the first in his time to know about it. Abraham had an understanding about it, that a Messiah was coming. But we are chosen. Why are we chosen? To share the good news with others. So there's a responsibility on being chosen. The other one says, the next one, we're adopted to be a part of the family of God. So there's this monumental shift that we studied about in the book of Acts of bringing salvation not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. Because remember, the Jews thought they were elite, they were the only ones. But the salvation, the gospel of the kingdom, is for everyone. And so we're adopted into the family of God. And one of the greatest blessings of my life was when our family adopted my brother David. And many of you have met him. And though David may technically not have our DNA and is from different parents, you would never know it by the way my mom loved him and we loved him. She always wanted 7 children, but my dad died at the age of 45. And at that time, she was 8 months pregnant for their 6th child. And so when we had that opportunity to adopt David, he was our first foster child, and he was 3 days old when we got him. And I was probably about 16 at the time. And it fulfilled my mom's dream to have 7 children. And for her, it just made her feel complete, because she now had 7 children. So when I think about being adopted into the family of God, I have that experience to relate to. I remember the kind of love and grace and compassion and welcome that was given to my brother. And as he's grown, I've never thought of him as anything except for my brother. And I don't try and explain stuff, because he's biracial and people can't figure that out. And I used to carry him around on my hip. And at that time when we adopted him, it was against the rules for white families to have black children. And he definitely had black features. So people would look at me. It's interesting how society has come, because we have so many mixed race children. It's like many people couldn't even relate to the stories we have about how we were treated because we adopted a biracial child. But we, you know what, made me a stronger person. And I was always ready to stand up for my brother. Don't mess with that. I was talking to someone the other day, and I said, you know, I was always very bold, because people would say things out loud in front of him, and I would just say, please don't talk like that in front of my brother. Or giving us stares, and I'd stare right back. Come on, I was a teenager. You want to fight? We protect our own, right? Yeah, but it was one of the biggest blessings to have him in our family. Still is. Amazing guy. And I think his birthday is Monday or Tuesday, so I got to remember to wish him a happy birthday. But the scripture says that God predestined us to be adopted to sonship through Jesus Christ. You know, isn't it awesome? God loves us so much, he wants to adopt us. He stands up for us. He'll fight for us. If something comes against you, God is there. Getting that realization, we are in the family of God, and he is our Father. Jesus Christ is our brother. Hallelujah. And so our spiritual adoption takes place by God's grace and ensures us that we have a loving Father who meets our every need. And if we're in Christ, we are redeemed to be free. And we sang about it this morning. I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed. You know, back in that time, the origin of the word comes from redeem, from the Roman slave markets. Because of the extensive military campaigns, they would take so many captives, they would have all these extra people, and they would just sell them out in the marketplace. And occasionally, a person would buy a person and just set them free. That slave was redeemed. And see, we were a slave to sin, but Jesus Christ redeemed us and set us free from the powers of sin. Hallelujah. And Paul wanted to make sure this one thing got through to everybody, that it's not a result because of our hard work or because we deserve it. It is the grace of God that he has lavished on us. Verse 7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. You see that word actually means overflow. You know, God lavished on us last Sunday morning. He lavished, and that is what he does. He forgives our sins, and he lavishes his grace on us. If it wasn't for grace, we would all be, I always say, crispy critters. Because God could zap us at any time. And sometimes our attitude would deserve a little zap. You know, I would think about my dogs. They have electric collars. You know, you give them a little zap, and you can get their attention. Hallelujah. Sometimes. 120-pound Rottweiler, he'll just take off. Hallelujah. But that word lavish just kind of reminds me of a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You got to have lots of peanut butter, and you got to have lots of jelly. And when you put it together, there has to be an overflow, you know, to make it really, really good and a lot of calories. Hallelujah. But that's what God's done with his grace. He lavished it on us. And then the scripture says the next spiritual blessing is we're purposed to live on purpose. Purposed to live on purpose. You know, sin tried to break us. Sin tried to keep us down. But God has an eternal purpose on the inside of each one of us. We all have a place in the body of Christ. We all have a place in this world. We have a purpose in this world. That's why it breaks your heart when you see people walking around and have no purpose. They're just wandering. When our church was downtown, there was just so many wanderers. You know, like that spirit of Cain, it just wandered. They were wanderers. And it's sad to see that because a life is being wasted. Don't waste your life. You have a purpose. We have a course on discovering your personal purpose and working through some things. You know, sometimes it takes some prayer, dedication, working through stuff to figure out exactly what your purpose is. But one thing we know for sure, God just didn't call you to flip hamburgers or go make bread all the time or just to work in the office. No, God has a purpose in wherever we're working. We are marketplace ministers. If you're out and about in the community, you're on a mission. And if you're a stay-at-home mom or dad, your mission field is your family. When we were raising our children, that's the first thing the Lord told me. Your first responsibility in ministry is to your children. Teach them well. Teach them well. That is your responsibility. And you know, moms, you think you're going to have a little break because the children are older, and then they have children, and then it's just like all this stuff multiplies, and you're working harder than you ever worked before. You're just not washing kids in the bathtub and putting them into bed, you know, and doing all their laundry. But you're serving. There's a purpose. Take care of your family. That's the key. This world needs families. And Satan is just doing all he can to tear that fiber apart in every way he can. He is working on it. And so we need to thank God for Right Now Media and some tools that we can bring right into our houses for our kids and for our own minds. We need to work on constantly renewing our minds, because what goes into your minds, a lot of people say, oh, that doesn't affect me. I've had so many people say that. Oh, that doesn't affect me. No, I was, I called my counselor, because I do have friends and counselors. I'm accountable. But I remembered a time when I was in, it was the fifth grade, I believe. Yeah, probably the fifth grade. My girlfriend and I snuck out to see a horror show. And I remember a scene in that show, and from that very time, that led a trauma in my life and a fear in my life. And you know, you can think that you're all healed, you're all delivered from fears and traumas, but you know, if you really ask the Lord, will you show me these things and set me free? Because something is an obstacle in my life, because I should not fear that. I shouldn't have such fear. It's unreal, you know? It doesn't make sense. And so getting with someone to help work through those things, to be set free, and hear what the Lord has to say about that. And to, you know, I can still see the scene in that movie, but I don't have the fear that's attached to it anymore. And I didn't even realize that that thing was like playing out in my life. I think the title of the movie was Psycho. I mean, it's an old, old movie. It's probably one of the first. We'd probably laugh at it if we watched it today because of the way movies were made back then. But we snuck out. My mom told me not to go. Her mom told her not to go. But we went because we wanted to. We wanted to see that movie. And then you have effects from these things for the rest of your life. I should have listened to my mama. I told you. You did tell me, you know. It's kind of like the Lord. I wonder how many times he's thinking, told him. But they pushed on through to do their own will. So when we live with purpose and direction in our lives, any choice is fine. Because any result will do. But when we are revealed the mysteries of God and the intentions for our lives, every choice matters. So I'm going back to the old life. You know, every choice was fine. The way I used to live, anything was fine. I could choose anything because I wanted to, right, Shelby? Have it your way. That is a sad funeral song when somebody sings, I did it my way. Jesus. We're such a self-centered culture. But you know, if you don't have a direction and a purpose, then any road you take is fine. But God has a purpose for our lives, and he has already preordained good works for us to do. And so making our choices wise. Let's go on. Lastly, if we're in Christ, we are sealed to be faithful. So Paul said, when we become followers of Jesus Christ, we receive the indwelling Spirit. God takes up residence on the inside of us. And Paul called it a deposit because it is the initial investment in an eternal outcome. When we receive the Holy Spirit, it's the initial investment in an eternal outcome. And the Spirit is the seal and sign that we are God's, and it gives us guidance and direction. And the good news is God will always be faithful. He always holds up his end of the bargain, even when we don't. and we're sealed in Him by His love. And the question is always whether or not we'll remain faithful to Him. We will with His grace, amen? With His help. If we get off path, we know He'll nudge us. Ever get a nudging? I had a few this week. Holy Spirit gives you this little nudge. We have to remember we've been bought with a price. We've been redeemed from sin. So we're going to say this last phrase together, if you can read that up there. No matter how I feel about myself, the truth is that I am chosen, adopted, redeemed, purposed, and sealed. And these are the amazing spiritual blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Before I close, I just wanted to share one thing. When I saw this PowerPoint, and actually this PowerPoint was on outreach.com, and I thought, wow, that reminds me of a vision I had. And it was back in 2013, and I was in prayer, and I was praying for the church and praying for the word of the Lord. And this is what He said to me. He said, "For I'm putting my print upon you." And in the vision, I saw this huge thumbprint coming towards me. And when it hit me, it just impressed in me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. But He said, "I'm putting a distinguishing mark upon my people. And it will be evident, and His glory will be seen in the lives of His people." And that word mark comes from it's the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And the old form of the letter is a cross. And a faithful man to the law of God in that time would be anointed in the sign of a cross on his forehead as being marked by his teachers. And so if you ever wondered why we do a cross when we're doing oil on your head, that's why. You're being marked. It's biblical. The scripture says, "Arise and shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." Right. "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall rise upon you, and His glory shall be seen upon you." So I believe without a doubt that we have been marked by our Heavenly Father. And there is a light and a glory that He wants to shine forth through each one of us. Regardless of where we've been from, regardless of how old we are, how young we are, God wants to shine through you. And you are marked by the power of God. So let's all stand this morning, and we're going to have prayer, and then Jeff is going to lead us in our closing song. Father, thank You for this word. Let it just penetrate into our hearts, Lord, that we have a deep understanding of what You are saying to us, Lord. What You're saying to us this morning, Lord. That You're putting Your print, Your seal upon each one of us. And if anyone hasn't accepted Jesus Christ, you can do that this morning. You can do that right now. There'll be prayer teams up here after service. You can come forward and just receive what God has for you this morning. Father, we thank You that we're sealed today. And Lord, we thank You that we can position ourselves before you today. We thank you, Lord, we have new identity today. I thank you, Lord, that you're breaking off old thoughts and lies, God, that we have believed, and allow your truth to come forward in our lives, God, that we can walk in the light as you are in the light. And Lord, that we can all love one another and have fellowship with one another, rejoice with one another, pray for one another, mourn with one another. We thank you, Lord, for your presence in each one of our lives, Lord. Continue to bind us together in love, in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a praise.